Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Yud Bet. This perek concludes the survey of the 39 melachot which began in Perek Chet, and includes the last three melachot of Mavir, Mechabeh, and Motzi Mirshut L'Rishut. There is more space devoted to the last melacha of Motzi Mirshut L'Rishut in this perek than we have seen devoted to any single melacha in any of the last four prakim. Incredibly enough, the discussion of this melacha continues beyond this perek, and indeed the seven prakim after this one deal with further aspects of this melacha. Halacha Aleph. Hamavir kol shehu chayav, v'hu shiyehei tzarich le'efer, aval im hivir derech hashchata, patur mipnei shehu mekalkel, v'hamavir gidisho shel chaviro, o hasoref dirato, chayav af al pi shehu mashchit, mipnei shekavanato linakei misono, v'harinit kara dato v'shachecha chamato, v'nasa kakorea al meto, o v'chamato, shehu chayav, v'chachovel l'chaviro bishat miriva, shekol elu mitaknin hein eitzel yitzran hara. V'chein hamadlik et haner o et haitzim, bein litchamem bein lahair, hari ze chayav. Hamechamem et habarzel kdei litzorfo b'mayim, hari ze toledet mavir v'chayav. The 37th melacha is mavir, igniting or kindling. This is generally a destructive act, so one is chayav only if he does the melacha in a constructive manner. And the Rambam suggests three scenarios in this halacha. The first is if one burns an object in order to use its ashes. And the third is when one lights a candle or wood, either for light or for heat. Between these, the Rambam has a controversial suggestion parallel to cases we saw regarding Chovel and Korea in Prakim Chet and Yud. If one burns his neighbor's home or his grain storehouse as an act of revenge, thus calming himself down and assuaging his anger, this is considered a tikkun, despite the fact that the act itself is reprehensible and forbidden, and he is chayav from avir. Just as the Ravid objected to the case of Chovel on Perek Chet, he remarks here, kol ze hevel urut ruach. All this is nonsense, referring to the Rambam's suggestion that one is chayav from avir in this case. At the end of Halacha Bet, the Rambam gives a fourth case of constructive mavir, adding oil to a ner which is already lit. Even though this doesn't create a new flame, it allows an existing flame to last longer, and hence is considered a form of mavir. The Rambam ends Halacha Aleph with a tolda of mavir, namely heating up metal to a high temperature in order afterwards to put it in cold water. The heating softens the metal, but when it is submerged in water afterwards, it ends up harder and stronger than before. This process is called tziruf in Hebrew, or quenching in English. The Ravid objects and believes that heating the metal in this manner should be bishul, cooking, and not mavir, in the same manner that heating wood until it softens is considered bishul, even though it subsequently hardens. The Magen Mishnah explains the difference. Heated metal, unlike heated wood, itself becomes capable of causing other things to catch fire and burn. Therefore, heating up the metal is considered not bishul, but mavir. No discussion of mavir can be complete without getting into the question of electricity and how its different uses and applications relate to this melacha. This is clearly a big topic, which I hope to return to in a later shir. Halacha bet. Hamchabe kol shehu chayav. Echad hamchabe taner, v'echad hamchabe hagachelet shel eitz, aval hamchabe gachelet shel matechet patur, v'im nitkavein letzaref chayav, shekein loche ha-barzel osin, mechamin et ha-barzel ad shiyaseh gachelet, u'mechabin oto b'mayim kedei lechasmo, v'zehu letzaref shehose oto chayav, v'hu toledet hamchabe. The 38th melacha is mechabe, extinguishing. One is chayav for this melacha by extinguishing a candle or a wooden coal, but one is patur for extinguishing a metal coal, unless he does this in order to accomplish tziruf, quenching, which we explained in the last halacha. The difference between a wooden coal and a metal one is that extinguishing a wooden coal produces a new item, namely charcoal, which even today is often made by burning wood at high temperatures in order to remove everything but the carbon in the wood. One violates mechabeh for the act of extinguishing, which creates the charcoal. But a metal coal is just very hot metal, and when extinguished, it returns to being the same piece of metal it was before, except that it is stronger due to Tzeruf. Hence, one in general is patur for extinguishing it, unless this was done with the intent of Tzeruf. The Ravid asks the immediate question, isn't this a case of psik reshe? Even if he has no intent for Tzeruf when extinguishing the coal, the Tzeruf is inevitably accomplished as a result of his act. The Magid Mishnah here answers this question with the same principle he introduced in Perek Yud in the context of piercing a blister. In some situations, the intent for a melacha is not external to the act, but a necessary ingredient in order to define the act as a melacha at all. When someone extinguishes a metal coal without intent for tziruf, this isn't tziruf without intent. Rather, it isn't tziruf at all. The difference between just blowing out a coal and the constructive act of tziruf is precisely the intent. Therefore, psik reshe doesn't apply here, as the absence of kavana means that there is no melacha being performed. The Rambam adds that since extinguishing a metal coal is only asur midrabanan, it is entirely permitted when the coal is in reshut harabim, and so extinguishing it removes a public hazard. Finally, just as adding oil to a ner which is already lit is considered mavir, so too is removing oil from it considered an act of kibui, as we also saw back in Parakeh in the context of what activities one may do and one may not do with a ner on Shabbat. And hence, one is chayav for mechabeh in this case as well. Halacha Gimel. Deleika shenafla b'Shabbat, ha-mechabeh ota mipnei ibur ha-mamon chayav, she'en ibur mamon doche Shabbat, ela ibur nefashot. Lefichach yitzu bnei adam kedei shelo yamutu, v'yanichu ha'esh telahet, v'afilu sorefet kol ha-medina kula. When a home catches fire, as long as all of the residents can leave and there's no danger to life, one may not extinguish the flames in order to save his home and possessions from going up in flames. Shabbat is set aside only to save lives, not to save property. Even if the flame will spread and burn all the homes in the city, one may not extinguish it if no one's life is in danger. The Ramah rules that this halacha doesn't apply when Jews and non-Jews live in close proximity, in which case there is genuine danger when a Jew does not assist in putting out a fire which threatens the homes of the local non-Jews. Contemporary poskim are in broad agreement that in the modern setting, with homes in close proximity to each other, as well as to electricity cables and gas lines, it is always permitted to put out a major fire on Shabbat, as it is impossible to know the extent of the damage that can result if a fire is left unchecked. Halacha Dalet. Umutar lasot mechitza bechol hakelim, bein meleim bein rekanin, kedei shelo tavor hadleika. Afilu klei cheres chadashim leim maim osin mehen mechitza. Ava pi shvadai mitpak inu mechabin, shigram kiboy mutar, vechofin keara al gabei haner bishvil shelo teechoz bakura. One may make a partition out of kalim to block the spread of a fire. One may even construct this partition using pottery vessels filled with water, in the hope that when the fire causes these to break, the water inside them will douse the flames. This is called gram kibui, and is an example of the general concept of grama, causing a malacha to be done by indirect means. The general question of under what circumstances grama is permitted on Shabbat, and how different devices may be used which rely on grama, is a broad topic which I hope to return to in a later shiur. One may cover a candle with a bowl so that the flame doesn't ignite a nearby wooden beam. However, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, one needs to be careful in this case to leave some space between the candle and the bowl so that the candle is not directly extinguished by his act. The next halacha says that one may also block the spread of a fire by placing a non-flammable material, like the hide of a goat, over whatever objects he can in order to protect them. Halacha Vav mentions other ways in which one may act to indirectly assist in putting out a flame. If the end of a talit catches fire, one may wear it, carefully, in the hope that the motion will put out the flame. If a Sefer Torah catches fire, one may open it and read it with similar intent. In both of these cases, one may also wet a part of the talit or Sefer Torah which hasn't yet caught fire, even though this may extinguish the flame when it gets there. If someone forgets a candle on a tray before Shabbat, he may shake the tray so that the candle falls, even though this will likely cause the candle to go out. This can only be done if he forgets the candle before Shabbat, as otherwise the tray is muktzeh as a basis ledavar ha'asur, as we'll learn in Perek Kaf Hei. The Rama rules that in any event, it is preferable to have a non-Jew put out the candle rather than to cause it to fall. Halacha Zayin. Nochri sheba lechabot, ein omrin lo kabei o al techabe, mipnei she'ein shvitato aleinu. Aval katan sheba lechabot, ein shomin lo, v'hu she'yeh oseh al dat aviv. Aval midat atzmo, ein beit din mitzuvin alav lafrisho, uvad leikahi tiru lamar, kol hamechabe eino mafsid. If a non-Jew comes on his own to put out a fire, we do not stop him, as we are not obligated to stop a non-Jew from doing malacha on Shabbat. This halacha came up earlier also in Perek Vav halacha Dalet. Chazal even permitted Jew to call out that anyone who puts out the fire will not lose out by doing so, an oblique hint that any non-Jew who extinguishes the fire will be rewarded for his efforts. The Shulchan Aruch allows one to summon a specific non-Jew from another location, even though he will certainly put out the fire when he sees it. If a Jewish child comes to put out the fire because he knows his father would want this, then we do not let him. But if he is acting on his own wishes, then Beit Din need not stop him. This is an example of the halacha of Katan Ochel Nevelot, that the community is not required to prevent a child from violating Isurim, but the child's parents are certainly obligated to do so, based on the mitzvah of Chinuch. The Rambam now turns to a discussion of the 39th and last malacha, that of Hotza'a Mirshut L'Rashut. Halacha Chet. Hotza'a Mirshut L'Rashut Malacha Me'avot HaMalachoti Va'af Al-Pi She'Davar Zeh Im Kol Gufei Torah Mipi Moshe Mi'Sinai Nemru Harei Hu Omer Ba'Torah Ish V'Isha Al Yasu Od Malacha L'Trumat HaKodesh Va'Yikalei Ha'am Me'Havi Halamadata She'Hava Malacha Koreota V'Chein Lamdu Mipi HaShmua She'Hama'avir B'Rashut HaRabim Mitchilat Arba L'Sof Arba Harei Zeh K'Motzi Mirshut L'Rashut V'Chayav. Transferring an object from one domain to another is one of the avot malacha, specifically, as clarified in the next halacha, from a private domain, reshut hayachid, to a public domain, reshut harabim, or vice versa. And we'll see in Perek Yedaled what exactly constitutes each of these types of domains. The Rambam has not, until now, brought any source that any of the avot malacha is indeed an av malacha. This classification is part of halachic tradition. But for hotzah, perhaps because it seems like such an ordinary activity, lacking the creative aspect which characterizes the other melachot, the Rambam quotes a source. The pasuk in Parshat Vayakel refers to the bringing of donations by the people for the construction of the Mishkan using the term melacha. This shows that just bringing an object from one place to another can be a form of melacha. Also included in this melacha is ha'avara, moving an object for Amot within the public domain, the Reshut HaRabim. Some Rishonim explain the connection between this and Hotza'a using the idea that the four Amot in one's immediate vicinity in Reshut HaRabim are considered his personal domain, for instance regarding the acquisition of an object of Hefker located there. Hence, even moving an object for Amot in Reshut HaRabim is the halachic equivalent of transferring it from one domain to another. Halacha Tet. Ein hamotzi mirshut l'rashut chayav ad shiotzi kashiur hamu'il mirshut hayachid l'rashut harabim o mirshut harabim mirshut hayachid v'yakor mirshut zo v'yaniach mirshut shnia aval im akar v'lo hiniach o hiniach v'lo akar o shehotzi pachot mikashiur patur v'chein hama'avir mitchilat arba l'sof arba mirshut harabim eino chayav ad shiakor kashiur mitzad zeh. The Rambam lists here three conditions to be chayav for an act of hotza'a mirshut l'rashut or of ha'avara birshut harabim. One, the quantity of the object must be at least a shi'ur hamo'il, a minimally useful amount of the object in question. Much of Perek Yudchet will be devoted to a listing of the minimum quantities of different types of objects for this malacha. Two, the act must begin with an akira, an uprooting of the object from its original location. Three, the act must end with a hanacha, a placement of the object down in its new location. The next perek, Perek Yud Gimel, will be devoted to the details of what qualifies as an akira and as a hanacha. If the object is less than the requisite shiur, or if there is no akira or no hanacha, then one is patur, but the act is still asur. Halacha yud. Hazorek mirushut lirushut o hamoshit harei ze toledet hamotzi v'chayav. V'chein hazorek o hamoshit mitchilat arba lesof arba harei ze toledet hamotzi v'chayav. V'hazorek lachar yad patur. Two toledot of hotza are zorek, throwing an object from one domain to another, or four amot in rishut harabim, and moshit, handing or passing an object from one domain to another, or four amot in rishut harabim. So one is chayav for doing either of these, but is patur if he throws in an unusual manner, for example, behind his back. Halacha yud alef. Hamotzi miktzat ha-chefetz mirashut mishtei rishuyot eilu lirashut shnia, patur, ad shiotzi et kol ha-chefetz kulo mirashut zo lirashut zo. Kupa shihi meleach chafatzin, afil meleach chardal, votzi ruba mirashut zo lirashut zo, patur, ad shiotzi et kol ha-kupa, v'chein kol ha-dome lezeh, shakli meisim kol shiyesh bo ke-chefetz echad. One is only chayav if he moves an entire object from one domain to another, not only part of it. Even if the object is a container full of smaller items, for example, a box of mustard seeds, so that one who moves part of the box into another reshut transfers many of the mustard seeds inside the box into that second reshut. He isn't chayav until the entire box is moved into the second reshut. The box is considered to combine all of its contents into a single unit. Halacha yud bet. Hamotzi ben bimino ben bismolo, o betoch chiko, o shiatza bima'ot surin lo besadino, chayav, mitnei sheotzi kederach hamotziin, v'chein hamotzi al ketefo, chayav, af al pi shamasoi lemala me'asarat fachim v'rshut harabim, sheken haya masoi b'nei kahat b'mishkan lemala me'asara, shnemar b'katef yisa'u, v'chol ha'melachot m'mishkan lomdim otan. One is chayiv for moving the object in any manner by which people ordinarily carry objects, kederach hamotziin, in the right hand, in the left hand, inside his clothing, like in a pocket, and on his shoulder. We'll see in Perek Yedaled that a reshut harabim is considered to extend only up to 10 tvachim above the ground. So how can one be chayiv for carrying on his shoulder, which is above this height, if the object he is carrying is never located in reshut harabim? The answer is that this is how certain objects, the Klei HaMishkan, were carried by the B'nai Kahat when the Mishkan was moved from place to place, and all of the Melachot are learned from what was done in the Mishkan. The next two Halachot clarify further what qualifies as Kederach HaMotzi'in. Examples of methods for which one is patur include carrying on the back of the hand, or inside the mouth or ear, placing something between layers of clothing, and carrying an object inside one's shoe or sandal. Carrying on top of one's head is considered kederach hamotziin if the object is very heavy, and he holds it steady on his head with his hand while carrying it. But if the object is light enough to carry on his head without holding onto it, then he is patur for carrying it in this manner. Let's read the last two lines of Halacha Yud Dalet. Hamavir chefetz mitchilat arba lesof arba birshut harabim afapi sheviro lemala mirosho chayav. One is chayav for moving an object four amot in reshut harabim even if he carries it above his head, like by stretching his hand upward. This psak is difficult. Recall that above 10 tfachim in the reshut harabim is not considered reshut harabim. In the case of carrying on one's shoulder above 10 tfachim, we saw that one is chayiv based on the paradigm of the B'nai Kahat, who would carry the Klei HaMishkan on their shoulders. But why should one be chayiv for carrying above his head? The Ravid understands differently the source of this halacha in the Gemara. According to the Ravid, this refers to someone who stands in reshut harabim, picks up something on one side of his body, and places it down on the other side, at a distance of 4 amot from where it started. He is chayiv despite the fact that in the middle of its movement, when the object was directly above his body, it was located not in reshut harabim, as it was more than 10 tefachim above the ground, but in a different type of domain called a makom patur. The reason he is nonetheless chayav is because he didn't pause to rest while the object was there, and thus there is continuity between the first part of the action, the akira, and the second part, the hanacha. The Magen Mishnah is convinced that the Ravid agrees with the Rambam, that one who carries a full distance of 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim above his head is Chayav, but it is not entirely clear that the Ravid believes this to be true. Halacha Tetvav. Mutar la'adam l'taltel b'rishut harabim b'toch 4 amot al 4 amot, shu omeid b'tzidan, v'yesh lo l'taltel b'chol ha'merubah hazeh, uv'amah shelo modedin lo, v'im haya nanas b'evarav, notnim lo 4 amot b'veinonit shel kol adam. From here until the end of the perek, the Rambam discusses the heter to carry within one's 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim. An amma is the length of the forearm, and this is measured on an individual basis. Each person may carry a distance of 4 of his own amot. However, if someone is especially short, then he gets the amot of a person of average build. The heter for an individual to carry within his 4 amot is learned from the pasuk of Shavu Ish Tachtav in Parshat Beshalach. Halacha Tet Zayin. Hayu shnayim miktzat 4 amot shel ze l'toch 4 amot shel ze mevi'in v'ochlin be'emtza uvelvad shelo yotzi ze mitoch shelo l'toch shel chavero v'im hayu shlosha v'haemtzaim muvla beintayim hu mutarim ahen v'hein mutarin imo u'shnayim hachitzonim asurin ze im ze. If the 4 amot of 2 people in Rishut HaRabim overlap, then they may eat together in the place where these areas overlap. But each person must be careful not to carry anything outside his 4 amot into an area which belongs only to the other person's 4 amot. If Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are in Rishut HaRabim, such that Reuven's 4 amot overlap with Shimon's on one side and with Levi's on the other side, but Shimon's and Levi's 4 amot don't overlap at all, then Reuven may eat with each of the other 2 individually, but Shimon and Levi may not eat together, as they have no common space in which to carry. Halacha Yud Zayin. Lefichach mutar l'adam l'akor chefetz mirshut harabim v'litno l'chavero she'imo b'toch 4 amot. V'chein chavero l'chavero ha'acher she'bitzido afilu hein mea. V'af al pi she'chefetz halach kama milin b'shabbat mutar. Mipnei she'kol echad mehen lo tiltel ela b'toch 4 amot shelo. Because one may hand an object to someone in the area where the 4 amot of both people overlap, it is possible and entirely permissible to move an object even a very far distance by making a chain of a large number of people in which each is within 4 amot of the next. The first person hands the object to the second in the region where their 4 amot overlap, then the second to the third, etc. And this can continue indefinitely, as long as each person stays within his personal 4 amot. The Ravid believes that this practice is permitted only in cases of great need. For example, for the benefit of someone who left his tchum and can only move within 4 amot. Halacha Yudchet. Ho'il v'yesh lo la'adam l'taltel b'chol ha'merubah shu 4 amot al 4 amot, nimtza m'taltel b'orech alachsono shel merubah zeh 5 amot u'shlosha chumshe amah. Lefichach, ein ha'ma'avir o ha'zorek b'rshut harabim chayav, ad she'avir chutz l'chamesh amot u'shlosha chumshe amah. V'chol makom shamarnu, mitchilat 4 l'sof 4, o ha'ma'avir 4 amot, chayav, hu mitchilat alachson shel 4 amot ad sofo, vim hevir pachot mize patur. The 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim in which a person may carry on Shabbat are actually more than this amount. Chazal learned from the pasuk of Shavu Ish Tachtav, quoted back in Halacha Tetvav, that a person may carry within a square whose length and width are each 4 amot. But this means that he may also walk the entire diagonal of this square, and the diagonal is more than 4 amot long. Its length in Amot is 4 times the square root of 2, which Chazal, using an estimate of 1.4 for the square root of 2, measure as 5.6 Amot. Therefore, since one who carries or throws in Rishut HaRabim can always claim to be doing so along the diagonal of his personal square of 4x4 Amot, he is only Chayav when he carries or throws 5.6 Amot. So the Rambam clarifies, whenever he has made reference in this perek to a chiyuv in a case of throwing or carrying 4 amot in Rishut HaRabim, his meaning is really the length of a diagonal of a 4x4 square, that is 5.6 amot. Halacha Yutet, nimtza kan shalosh midot. Ketzad, Haoker Chefetz Mirshut Arabim Mimakom Ze, Vinicho Makom Acher, Mirshut Arabim, Imaya Bein Shnea Mekomot Ad Arba Amot, Hareze Mutar. Haya Beinehen Yaterme Arba Amot, Vadain Hein Betoch Chamesh Amot, Ushlosha Chum Shema, Patur. Haya Beinehen Chamesh Amot, Ushlosha Chum Shema, Beshave, Hareze Chayav, Sharei Hevira Chefetz, Chutzla Lachsono, Shel Miruba. There are thus three levels when it comes to carrying in Rishut HaRabim on Shabbat. It is mutar to carry up to 4 amot. It is asur to carry between 4 and 5.6 amot. But one is patur for doing so because he has not carried the length of the diagonal of a 4x4 square. If one carries 5.6 amot, then he is chayav. The Shulchan Aruch eliminates the middle level and rules that it is completely permitted to carry up to 5.6 amot. The Gra rules that even according to the Rambam, if one chooses a specific direction to be the diagonal of his personal square and carries only in that direction, then it is mutar to carry up to 5.6 amot. Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next perek.